problem.
روزنامه نیکی ژاپن.
Japan's Nikkei newspaper.
I'm from Japanese economic daily Nikkei.
Yes.
President, the day after tomorrow, OPEC general meeting will be held at Vienna. Do you think that the current oil price is suitable? Or if not, could you tell me how much is it suitable for Iran?
جناب آقای رئیس جمهور، من خبرنگار روزنامه اقتصادی ژاپن هستم. ببخشید تکرار میکنم. جناب آقای رئیس جمهور، من خبرنگار روزنامه اقتصادی ژاپن هستم. همانطور که جناب عالی اطلاع دارید، پس فردا اوپک تشکیل جلسه در شهر وین خواهد داد. آیا جناب عالی فکر میکنید که قیمت فعلی نفت مناسب است و یا اگر پاسخ خیر است، چه قیمتی را برای نفت و برای ایران مناسب میدانید؟
ببینید ارزش واقعی قیمت
نفت. The real value of oil, the price of oil today is way less than 1980. We think that in a certain condition, a just condition, and in a competitive atmosphere, the price of all commodities should be determined. Unluckily, the oil market has been always affected by non-economic factors, and it has been undergoing fluctuations. That's the same story today. Now, the economic condition in the world is not such that we expect to talk about these issues. We have presently more important issues, and the pillars of the world economy need correction, but it's evident that the real value of a barrel of oil is much higher than what the price is today. Every government at any time, any place, they make mistakes and they might face some problems naturally. Like it can also achieve some successes. What was the greatest failures of your government, and how can they affect the result of the upcoming elections? Thank you for the question regarding this. As I'm going to talk to people, I will have an analysis of the four-year performance of my government. And as you said, all governments have some weak points, soft points, and strong points that I will raise in that meeting.
خبرنگار لس آنجلس تایمز آقای رامین مستقیم.
From Los Angeles Times.
خبرگزاری EFE اسپانیا آقای خاویر مارتین رودریگز.
سلام آقای رئیس جمهور.
In the course of the past 4 years, any time you talked, any time there was a talk of negotiations with America, like today's session, you used the word debate. Debate in English, and in Arabs also looks like they use the word, the same word. In Farsi, with the word talks and dialogues that rivals use, they bear different connotations. My question for you is, do you deliberately use the word debate and not dialogue? Is dialogue a taboo? And is your government, if you're elected for the next 4 years, will you break this taboo and use, instead of using the word debate, use talks and dialogue that you know for sure carries a more positive connotation? And the question, as a university lecturer for you, please explain to me to better understand the structure of power. In the past less than 4 years, there was a patrol, what called Irshad Patrol, in the streets of the city. Recently, in a meeting that you took part, and in various places, you had your own comments. My question is, to better understand this power structure, is this presence of this kind of patrols or your presence in that meeting, has this been a decision that you independently made, or was it made in coordination with the and high Supreme Security Council or the leader or the heads of other branches of the government. This way we can understand the power structure in Iran, if you shed some light on this. For you to understand the cycle of power and the workings, I ask you to go and study the Iranian constitutional law. There you can see that the trend of power and the cycle and everything is clearly stated, very clearly, and the same thing is being done in this country accordingly. Regarding talks, we do believe in talks. At the beginning of this session, I said that world issues need to be tackled based on talks and based on commitment to peace, love, and affection, and justice. During this government, in Iraq, in order to help the National Reconciliation Government establish there and for the security to establish there, three times our representatives met with representatives of the United States. Of course, debate is different issue. By debating, we mean that in the presence of world peoples, we want to talk, we want to discuss and exchange our opinions about world issues. We want to share our issues and try and help bring transparency to world issues and problems so that the ground is paved for appropriate settlement of those problems. Debate in itself is a kind of is talk, actually. But it also means talks, which means two people sit in a closed door, in a closed room, and they talk to one another to plan something. That's not what we mean by talks. We think any kind of debate that is done in the presence of media, microphones and cameras, in order to reflect your views, this will help bring clarity and transparency and help come up with better solutions to world problems.
آقای خاویر مارتین رودریگز خبرگزاری EFE اسپانیا نفر بعد هم
EFE
از شرق قطر
نیوز ایجنسی
اکسلنسی this week the German magazine Der Spiegel based in the judicial investigation published that the resistance group Hezbollah was responsible of the killing of the former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri and suggested a kind of help from Iran. Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah refused the allegation. Do you have any comment, please? Thank you.
جناب آقای رئیس جمهور، اخیراً هیئتی که تحقیقات قضایی در مورد کشته شدن رفیق حریری را انجام می‌دهد اعلام کرده است که حزب الله مقصر این قضیه بوده است و حتی تلویحاً اعلام کردند که ایران هم در این دستی داشته است و از حزب الله به حزب الله کمک کرده است. البته آقای حسن نصرالله این قضیه را گفتند که صحت نداره. حالا نظر جناب عالی را می توانم داشته باشم.
بله
شپیگر،
these claims are being made everywhere in the world. Should we answer all of them? Should we make reactions? All newspapers and people have their own comments. If you want to base your life on comments of others, you can never leave home. You should wait and see what everybody has commented. If you want to regulate your life with them, you can't take one single step. The assassination of Rafiq Hariri is a complicated story. We think it's a plot by the enemies of the Lebanese people in order to create tension and differences and exploit the situation, a tense situation. And luckily, the nation of Lebanon are aware and vigilant these days. The groups there are aware, they know what they're doing, they're approaching their election. Anybody who is the lover of Lebanese people, they should keep peace and silence so that elections are done, are held in a peaceful manner, and so that Lebanese can decide for their own future. If some people fabricate this news, I think that they're doing this all in vain. It will have no effect in the political process inside Lebanon. A Sharq newspaper from Qatar. Almost a week ago, you made a trip to Syria. What was the purpose of this trip? It is said it is it connected to Arab coalition with Israel? The question is not clear. The president asked him again. It is said that there is an Arab-Israeli coalition. Is your trip related to it? Is there going to be a coalition between Arabs and Zionist regime? This is what it's the rumor. But should we move on the basis of rumors? Iranian media have also talked about the same thing. We don't live on the basis of rumors. Well, Iran-Syria relations are friendly. We have shared views on regional issues, and we always have consultations, and they're continuing. The president of Syria had traveled here, and I was traveling there in response to his trip. The timing of the trip was important. It sure was a function of developments in the region. We analyze all the regional events, and we made decisions to be effective. Japan's GNET news agency.
Today, North Korea made a nuclear test again, while Iran launched a new type of long-range missile a few days ago. What kind of cooperation with North Korea does Iran have on nuclear and missile development?
جناب آقای رئیس جمهور می‌فرمایند که امروز کره شمالی مجدداً یک آزمایش اتمی انجام داده است و اخیراً نیز ایران موشک جدیدی را با برد بسیار زیاد آزمایش کرده است. چه همکاری بین جمهوری اسلامی ایران و کره شمالی می‌فرمایند در مورد ساخت موشک‌های اتمی وجود دارد؟
ما هیچ همکاری در این زمینه
There is no cooperation between us. We're opposed to nuclear proliferation. We're opposed to storing nukes. We have announced this repeatedly, but we believe countries like America are not able to manage the political atmosphere, and what happens these days is due to mismanagement ruling over the political ties. In East Asia, people have no problems with one another. They're friends. Who claims between the people of two Koreas, between China and Japan, why should there be differences between them? They live in the same region. They are of the same culture. They should live in peace next to one another. Threat is a threat to all of them. But the mismanagement dominating the world equations, that's the root cause of the problem. We think that they should sit down and talk with North Korea and settle their issues with them. If they have made a promise, they should fulfill that promise. Well, they threaten them, they provoke them, while they continue making bombs. This is too bad. We are against this attitude, be it on the side of the countries that are provoking or the countries that are after proliferation. We find this to the detriment of humanity, and we are opposed to it, be it the proliferation of nuclear weapons or storing of them. This harms the whole humanity. BBC Panorama.
خانم کاروان
Good afternoon, Your Excellency, Dr. Ahmadinejad. You've told us this afternoon that you, if re-elected, would propose to debate President Obama at the United Nations. Your time will necessarily be limited. So what concretely could America, Britain and the West offer you in order to improve relations with Iran? And I'm talking concretely here. And what could you, in return, concretely offer to the West, especially on the nuclear issue, and especially when President Obama has talked about wanting to see development on this front by the end of the year?
جناب آقای رئیس جمهور، عصر جناب عالی بخیر. جناب آقای دکتر احمدی نژاد، چند دقیقه پیش حضرت عالی اعلام کردید که حاضر هستید در صحن سازمان ملل مناظره‌ای با پرزیدنت اوباما داشته باشید. اگر لطف کنید به من بفرمایید که چه قدم‌های ملموسی را آمریکا و عمدتاً غرب می‌توانند بردارند برای بهبود روابط استفاده می‌کنم، عرض می‌کنم، و چه قدم‌های ملموسی را ایران، جمهوری اسلامی ایران می‌تواند در پاسخ بردارد، و خصوصاً در مورد موضوع اتمی این قدم‌های ملموس چه می‌توانند باشند، با توجه به اینکه پرزیدنت اوباما گفتند مایل هستند تا آخر امسال در خصوص موضوع اتمی تحول خاصی صورت بگیرد.
We believe that the biggest change should be in the outlook and in the attitude of the American officials. If they're still after maximizing the spread of hegemony and domination of the U.S. across the world, not only in the Middle East, but in the whole of the world, they will face defeat and failure. The United States, the U.S. administration, should come to terms with the fact that they, too, are a government like any other government. The people of America is the same as people elsewhere in the world. They should have equal rights. They should respect other nations. They should be after interaction based on justice. This is the way to solve problems. Our people are an oppressed people. For 30 years, in an unjust manner, the nation of Iran has been under pressure by governments in the U.S. Before that, for 25 years, the then governments in the U.S. had imposed a dictatorial rule over our people. The people of Iran has never taken any measures against the interests of the American people. They have always asked for brotherly relations and friendly, cordial ties. America has unilaterally severed its ties with us. Unilaterally. Iran has never cut ties with them. That's what they did. Iran then favored this move. We think that in practice, there should be some real changes which will benefit all. In the first place, it will benefit America itself, the U.S. administration, and the people of America. The world has changed. You cannot pursue Mr. Bush's policy these days. And before Bush, those policies cannot be followed through. If you're after following those policies, you're making a mistake and you will hurt America in the first place. That's failed. That's history now. It's over. Times have changed. Nobody in the world will accept those policies. Therefore, they need to change those policies, and they should announce clearly regarding Afghanistan, regarding Iraq, the issue of Palestine, the rights of the people. They should clearly announce, it should be clear. We have taken great strides. I gave a message to Mr. Bush. It was a great task in itself. I took the opportunity, the Iranian nation gave the greatest opportunity to President Bush to start change and do something about relations between America and Iran and regulate those relations. But Bush, instead of favoring that great task that we did, he started committing mistakes and making insults. I also gave a message to President Obama. I think that we have carried out our duty. You know that in Iran, The general atmosphere and the mentality of the Iranian people are seriously pessimistic about American rulers. Anyway, I sent my message, I conveyed it, and I gave them the necessary opportunity, I gave Obama the necessary opportunity to start making changes, and we are awaiting those changes.
So you answered the first part of my question, but the second one, which is what can you give to America and the West? You just talked about Mr. Obama's posture and approach needs to change. Does your posture and approach need to change? You are what we call in the West a very feisty politician, and some say it's you that should change.
و در خصوص اینکه ایران چه میتواند در اختیار غرب به عنوان یک پاسخ قرار بدهد اگر
دیگه من کارهایی که ما کردیم
what we have done in Afghanistan
ایران کمک کرد
ایران helped بعدن متهم شد and later on ایران was accused that Iran is the axis of evil در عراق هم in Iraq Iran went to their help later it was accused it got mistreatment Iran has been interested to see peace in the region and in the world, but peace which is based on justice. I think if the American administration is committed to justice and respect, they should announce that publicly, that we do respect, we are committed to justice and respect for others, then the situation will change. From Newsweek magazine. You said that we ask America to start changing their attitude and approach. We want an interaction to be there. And you ask that Mr. Obama sit with you at a debate. Not that you will have limited time. What are your practical requests for America? Is to unfreeze American Iranian assets or to start supporting terrorist groups or support Iran to join World Trade Organization? What are your requests for America? If you want to join the World Trade Organization, we will take the measures needed. I raised several issues. It's beyond that. The U.S. administration should change its basic policies, major policies. This will benefit the American government itself. If they are still pursuing hegemony and domination, imposing their ideas on other people, be it in a new wording, in a new way, they will certainly fail. The world is not like it was, and they cannot tolerate this. We are at a different level now, at a higher level now. And now they should also announce their commitment to equal rights and respect for other nations. They should publicly announce this. Then everything will naturally change. And then I will ask, okay, why will the American administration, why should they have 10,000 nuclear warheads, but they stop others' peaceful nuclear programs? If justice is there, then everything will change and there won't be any fight. We recommend to them that not to waste the time of the Iranian nation and the people of America. Instead, they should come and look at the requirements on the ground in the world. It benefits them. Change and development is a fact. Change is happening. It's like the river current, which is deep and wide. It's the flow is there. The shrewd politicians are those who try to go with the flow, not with words, but in action, indeed. Or else this river will do lots of things, and things will happen. It will wash away many things. See what's happening in Afghanistan, in Pakistan. Look at the situation there. The slogan is fighting terrorism, but the thought of terrorism and the roots of this and their funding. They're free. They have cordial ties with America, and they're being supported by America. Well, this way terrorism will never be destroyed. It will be strengthened. Since Bush said he's going to fight terrorism and entered our region, I'm asking you, has terrorism declined, annihilated, or increased? It has developed, has increased. Extremism, has it increased or decreased? Then these measures and slogans, at what cost did these happen? 1 million people, casualties in Iraq, 1 million human beings were either killed or injured in Iraq. The whole number of assassinations in Iraq was less than maybe 10,000, 50,000 before this. But on the pretext of fighting terrorism, 1 million people got killed or injured. In Afghanistan, more than 60,000 people are killed so far. Therefore, that's not the right way. It's wrong because they did not go to uproot terrorism. In the name of terrorism, they went there to expand their domination in the region. That's why whatever they do is doomed to failure. We ask them to put this aside, to forget about this, and really counter terrorism. Then they will see that the ways are cost-effective, are not that much costly. Let me cite an example for you. In the official reports, it was said that NATO and America, in the course of 7 years, they spent $250 million in Afghanistan. $150 billion. I'm not sure if this is the right number. Maybe there are some false reports. But whatever it is, it's a big number. In Afghanistan, what's the population? How big is the population of Afghanistan? 25 million people. It means for every Afghan national, $10,000 has been spent. That means a family of five in Afghanistan, $50,000 has been spent on a family, which means creating a job is less than $5,000. If we assume that every family has two working people, it will be $10,000. $40,000 will be saved. Then if all people of Afghanistan have jobs and have welfare, will terrorism have any ground to grow any further? Will smuggling of narcotics and proliferation of narcotics have the ground to grow anymore? That won't be like that. Since NATO entered Afghanistan, the production of narcotics double, tripled, even five times. This means that they are going the wrong way. And when we talk to them, we advise them, they don't listen to us. We're telling them that they are going awry, but they turn a deaf ear to us. What else can we do? We cannot stop them. Now in Pakistan, they're also falling into a trap. So spread of conflicts is in no way to the benefit of America and its allies. Only a large number of civilians get killed and displaced, and then America and American forces will fall victim to those countries. We are monitoring this, and we can see what's happening in front of us. We can see that it's stormy, that the flood is on the way. We see there's a steep valley. They're like blindfolded drivers. They have closed their ears and eyes. They're just stepping on the accelerator, moving toward the bottom of the valley. We think they should descend from that ivory tower, accord recognition to others. People in Afghanistan and Pakistan, they're also humans. They also need affection. They want peace. They need welfare. They have their own personality. They have their own dignity. They should have their own rights. They shouldn't sit in behind closed doors and wage wars for their economic problems, for their political problems, kill people for money. That's not right. This mentality should change. This will benefit them. They should explicitly announce that we will abolish this thought. If they really want people to believe them, they should frown on Mr. Bush a little bit. Bush, in Iran, a lady was accused and the judiciary arrests her. Look at the media hype in the world. They talk of human rights violation. Mr. Bush goes to Iraq and kills 1 million people, and then he's living freely, and nobody has happened. Nothing has happened to him. He has killed 1 million people, and he's walking freely. And then we say that the time for this kind of thinking and mentality is over. If they want to succeed, they should forget about these. They should think like a human. They should consider themselves equal to others, and then we'll help them. We have shown them the way. They have not chosen. So let them first take the first step, then we will come up with the next steps. When they take the first step, the second step will be there automatically. When you clear your mind and mentality from revenge and aggression, and then God will show you the way. We don't have to show them the way. They should evacuate, exit their forces. They should start bombing and creating division. Everything is clear. Italian Il Sole newspaper.
Mr. President, I would like to ask you what is the state of the relationship between the European Union and Iran? And I would like to ask you if is a positive step if Turkey, a Muslim country, will join European Union. In this case, European Union and Iran will have a common border. Thank you.
جناب آقای رئیس جمهور, من از جناب عالی می‌خواستم راجع به وضعیت فعلی روابط بین جمهوری اسلامی ایران و اتحادیه اروپای EU بپرسم. الان وضعیت روابط در چه سطحی است؟ همچنین احتمالی وجود دارد که ترکیه یک کشور مسلمان به EU بپیوندد. اگر چنین اتفاقی واقع بشود, در واقع اتحادیه اروپایی و ایران هم مرز خواهند شد. نظر جناب عالی.
Turkey joining to the European Union, we are for that. We think that it benefits the Union more than it would benefit Turkey. Turkey is a great country. It's an Islamic country. It's joining the European Union. The status of the European Union in the world will be upgraded at world level. Apart from one or two countries that have colonial record in Iran, we do not have negative ties with Europe. After the revolution, some of the European countries, under pressure from America, they started not to regulate their ties in the right way with us. It harms them themselves. Iran is going forward, is moving forward. Soon it will be a great economic power, but what they have done will remain in the memory of Iranians. Today, with many European countries, we have very good ties, economic relations, high-level economic relations, cultural ties. We are interested to have better ties with EU and European countries independently from others' political pressure, to have ties and to continue them. We're still neighbors. Iranian culture has been the neighbor to European culture. It has been like this forever. Constructive interaction has been there between Iran and people of Europe. We don't see any reason to disrupt this historical relation, and we have always recommended European countries to have a certain policy, a fixed policy, and use the opportunities that Iranian people put at their disposal. Our ties with America have nothing to do with Europe. We should plan independently.
شبکه تلویزیونی LBC لبنان آقای یاسر آزان بعد هم فایننشنال تایمز خانم نجمه بزرگ
لبنان's LBC TV network.
سلام علیکم. علیکم السلام. امیدواریم مجددا رئیس جمهور بشی.
We hope that you will be elected president again and have an exclusive interview with us.
خیلی متشکرم.
نه
thank you for that. But, I mean you are elected president and that you will also let us have an exclusive interview with you. But in any way, you will have an exclusive interview for sure. Can I ask my question in Arabic?
هناك تخوف غربي من فوز حزب الله في المجلس وسيطرته مع المعارضة الحالية على السلطة اللبنانية في حال فازت المعارضة في الانتخابات كيف ستتعامل إيران مع لبنان؟
غربيها بيم ازون دارن
که Westerners are fearful that the opposition in Lebanon may become victorious. If the opposition emerges victorious, what will be the interaction between Iran and Lebanon? What do you mean by opposition? Hezbollah and the present opposition. If opposition come to power, what will be our relations with Lebanon? Well, we are keen on to see unity and solidarity in all countries, be it in the region or in the world. Any decision made by people in a certain country by themselves, we are for that. Whatever decision it may be, we have good interactions. We already have good ties with regional countries. We have always asked for a Lebanon that is independent, united, and progressive. In the same framework, we have regulated and expanded our relations with Lebanon and will do so. Naturally, if the opposition comes to power in Lebanon, the situation in the region will change naturally. It is quite clear that new fronts will take shape in the region, and the resistance front in the whole region will be strengthened in the whole region. Financial Times newspaper. So President Few wrote a letter to President Bush and asked for a debate. Both your letters remained unanswered. You wrote to Mr. Obama and you got no answer. You asked for a debate again, diplomatically. Is this acceptable for President of Iran to make such requests repeatedly and get no responses to his request, given the fact that we're close to the presidential election and your three rivals emphasize that this has discredited Iran on international level? And Mr. Mousavi earlier in the week said that Iran is reaching a level like Somalia, the status of Somalia. Would you comment on that? Iran's status in the world is clear. We know where we are standing. It's clear. People who wanted to annihilate the people of Iran till two, three years ago now to have relations with Iran and talks with Iran, they are racing and they're competing with one another. Diplomacy in the world is something which is done on a scientific basis. It's not an emotional one. Mr. Bush's not answering my letter is an answer in itself. The whole world also passed its judgment to see who's right and where the logic was and where which illogical move, who made the illogical move. Now hundreds of Mr. Bush's friends are repeatedly rebuking him for not answering my letter. And they believe that he defamed the people of America. We do what is necessary and what is logical. Diplomacy means a number of activities that are continuous and they will have their own results. I think that we have gotten the results we're looking for, and those who said 3 years ago they wanted to isolate Iran, they now have realized they cannot do this. They isolated themselves, and in order to get themselves out of isolation, they need to have relations with the Iranian people. This, in my opinion, is clearly visible. Inside Iran, we have absolute freedom. Everyone can have their own comments. We cannot stop them commenting, and we cannot tell them why they think like that. Iran's elections are free. The people of Iran listen to all kinds of comments, and then they decide. Whatever decision they make, the decision will be to their benefit and to the benefit of the country and future, and it's certainly a good decision. Therefore, we are not either worried or see any disruption in the policies of the Islamic Revolution. Iran's status is clear to everybody. Once they used to say that Iran is nothing. Later they said it's a regional power. When they said that Iran is nothing, Iran was a great power already, politically speaking. Now that they say Iran is a regional power, it's evident that Iran should be an international power, and they admit to this. They know this. They know that without Iran's participation, without Iran's viewpoints and comments, without Iran's theoretical points, they won't be able to tackle world issues. This is Iran's status, and it's clear. Press TV reporter has a question.
Mr. President, apparently the United States is interested in putting the so-called good Taliban into power in Afghanistan. What is your take, sir?
جناب آقای رئیس جمهور ظاهراً آمریکا می‌خواهد طالبان خوب را در افغانستان به قدرت برساند. نظر حضرت عالی در این خصوص چه هست؟
من قبلاً هم گفتم.
Well, I already said. The U.S. administration and its allies, they have two problems, two basic problems in this region. The first problem is their look is not a good one. Their outlook is not the proper one. To solve extremism, they're not here to solve that problem. They're here for domination. They're not here to salvage the people of Afghanistan. They're here for their own, they're after their own interests. And the second thing is they don't know the people of the region. They don't know the situation on the ground in the region. They're not aware of that. They make mistakes after mistake. And we are surprised why they, when they make mistakes and they realize it, why don't they try to revise their attitude? The decisions American governments have made in the past 7-8 years, which they entered the region militarily, I see that they made mistake after mistake. So I recommend that American officials and their allies, independently from partisan interests and apart from those hegemonistic policies, they should sit down and review their attitude and their acts and their actions. And they should ask people who are cognizant of facts in the region, who know the region well, they should ask their consultation. If they're getting consultations, they're getting wrong consultations. They're getting nowhere. They just fall into a pit hole. And the reason is clear. History has never shown that occupiers under any name in Afghanistan could survive. The British Empire, with all its power that was ruling over almost half of the world, and at the time two-thirds of the world, they did not manage to sustain Afghanistan, and they left the country with humility. The former Soviet Union that was famous to be an iron government, and it had the biggest and the most powerful military, they too had to leave Afghanistan with total humility. Now these people who are expanding militarism and with their mistakes they're complicating the issues further, what assurance do they have not to face the same destiny? They should look at history. They should study history. They're making a big mistake. They should also know that people of Afghanistan are humans like they are, and they have their rights. Then things will change. You answered all questions. Patiently, 36 people answered their questions here. Thank you for your patience.
All right, the Iranian President Mehmood Ahmadinejad speaking there to foreign media in Tehran, covering a wide range of topics, of course. Starting off, we're talking about Iran's response to the 5+1 group, saying that there has been a response to that group, that a package will be presented soon publicly. He said the nuclear issue is actually over, that it is completely within the framework of the NPT and IAEA rules and guidelines. He said that now only discussions on world affairs, et cetera, the problems that are facing the world, will be discussed with other countries around the world, and that Iran will not allow someone outside the proper framework to discuss Iran's right to have a nuclear program. Talking about the inflation in Iran, he said the average inflation around the world is 82% presently during this economic crisis, and that in Iran the inflation rate is actually just 70%. That obviously reflects on Iran's better management of the economy. Talking about the elections, he said all groups are free in Iran. It is not like liberal and democratic systems. This is real freedom in this country. No one is able to impose their comments on others, and that the national will of the Iranians will be displayed in the upcoming elections. His reaction to the North Korea nuclear test, he said the use of nuclear weapons, Iran is opposed to that. He said that there should be a comprehensive denuclearization, that Iran is prepared to cooperate with all countries who are working towards that end. He said that if someone thinks that they have the right to gain nuclear arms, this encourages others as well to gain nuclear arms, and that wastes a country's money, and those countries should be disarmed. Talking about the MKO group, he believes that this is a dead group. And he said that the Europeans showed their true face by removing that group from the blacklist of the terrorists. Moving on to other issues, he spoke about the nuclear issue again. He said that Iran is very transparent about that, that it is, of course, within Iran's rights, like he said earlier. Obama's overtures of change and supposed extended hands. He said that Iran favors change. And that 3 years ago, he announced that the current world trend cannot continue, and that luckily Obama has also offered such change. But he has at the same time said that Iran is looking for change based on justice and respect, which it has not seen as of yet from the United States. Moving on to another question related to the United States, he said that Iran has never taken any measure against the U.S. or its people, and that it was the U.S. that unilaterally cut ties with Iran. And he said he told Obama, he was speaking to Obama, he said that Obama cannot pursue Bush's policies these days, and that Iranians are pessimistic looking at the past about American leaders, and that Iran is giving time to Obama to show change, which he has not yet shown in his actions. And that was the Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad speaking to foreign media here in Tehran. We will now return to our regular programming here on Press TV. Thank you for joining us.